The girls are done slipping and sliding into situations. It's time we start making intentional decisions when it comes to our relationships. And we're talking about it right after this.
Welcome to the Black Girl Bravado Podcast, your weekly fix for all things mental health and wellness. I'm Brittany, the joke-cracking, detail-oriented friend who is always down the road when you need her. For the legal stuff, though, not the illegal stuff.
And I'm Germany, the loyal friend who keeps you laughing. I'm a ray of sunshine, and you can always find me on the dance floor. And not only are we besties, but we're your besties. You heard me right. It's homegirl vibes here.
Get ready for the girls to dish the real, the raw, and the fucking funny.
And listen, we may drag you, but it's always in love. Let's start the show, cuties.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back.
Welcome back, y'all.
And welcome to.
Oh, yeah. In case you were new here.
Welcome back and welcome to.
Mm-hmm. How are you today?
Feeling good.
Okay.
Anything else? The reason I'm feeling good after having a challenging week.
I want to talk
about last week came in motherfucking swinging. Okay, y'all. I called myself having a Sunday fun day that turned into a Sunday disaster because I lost my wallet. And that set the tone for a really fucked up week for me.
The whole week was fucked up?
Yeah. The next day I got a flat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And there was a lot happening.
Something else happened that, oh.
You were the only person at work.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was challenging. Yeah. It was challenging. Some weeks are challenging.
Mm-hmm.
And last week was challenging for me. I'm like, okay, I see where we're going.
The wallet being taken is sickening to me.
Girl. I haven't lost my wallet. I haven't lost my wallet. I've only lost my wallet. This is my second time.
Yeah. It's not something you want to happen often.
Girl, I've been keeping my thing on me. So to discover that was gone, I was in denial. I was in denial.
I think that a lot of times we like go places and we're so comfortable thinking, nothing's going to happen here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then people be really bums.
Girl.
They be bums in disguise. They be dressed up looking nice and a bum on the inside.
Really snakes.
Really looking for a come up.
Really snakes. Someone came up. They for sure came up on me because they got cash. Mm. I normally don't have cash, but they got cash off of me.
I hate that.
They got cash off of me, and that's the part that pissed me off.
I know. Did you lock your cars immediately?
Girl, immediately. They didn't get no, I didn't realize until the next day.
Oh my God.
I didn't realize.
They weren't really snaking because they would have went to McDonald's on your ass.
Girl.
Somebody's done that to you too.
They could have got gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they had your zip code, girl.
Exactly. They could have ran it up. They could have ordered things online. You know? It could have really been ran up. But as soon as I discovered it, because I went to go get my wallet to pay for something, and I'm like, oh. My wallet's not in my purse. How's everything in here? You know how we carry the little travel size purse. How is that in here? All my lip glosses, but the wallet isn't.
It's gone.
I immediately locked those cars. I'm like, you won't be running.
That's a scare that I hate. This morning, I was like, I think I left my credit card at the mall, girl. I got it in my account too. I said, lock.
I told Andres,
I think somebody took my credit card. He was like, I have it. Because we took Gatsby to the vet, and I was like, here, take my card. But I never got it back.
Okay.
And it's not getting it back, so you stole it.
No.
I'm like, you stole it from me.
Yeah.
I said, it's locked. That was the first thing I thought to do, baby. You ain't coming up off my back.
Girl.
Nor Bank of America's back. Because they don't give me back my money, but you don't deserve to get up, come up. No.
No, because it's a hassle. It be the hassle.
I know. Immediately, I started thinking, damn, I'm going to have to order a new car, switch all my bills over. I hate doing that. It's okay, though.
But I'm okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, so other than that, you know, this weekend was chill shit. I need to sit down after.
Yeah. My weekend was pretty relaxed, too. I don't feel like I did anything.
I just ran errands yesterday. I ran errands. I took myself on a little date and came home.
Yeah. Actually, my day was kind of, it started off good and then it went down to a motherfucking drain. I ordered a dress online. We have a wedding that we're going to. Our friend is getting married. Mm-hmm. And it's a formal black tie wedding. So I called myself doing my due diligence by ordering a nice dress online. I was getting it tailored to fit the body, yaddy, yaddy, perfectly.
Yeah.
Because another thing that was deceiving, we really were like on our Zoom when it came to this because yeah. I even measured around.
I know, you did. What needed to be done.
I was like, there's no way I can fit that size, the small. So let me just order a medium, y'all. Why was I swimming in the medium? The deceit, I said, and this is why I be in size smalls. This is why I be telling you I'm really a small. You don't be believing me. Every time Brittany's like, what size did you get? And I'm like, a small. Because she's a small girl. She's a small girl. And I got a medium and it was so big. So y'all, I took it to the tailor. I dropped it off. They were so confident. It'll be ready the next day. I'm like, great.
They were taking it in. They were so confident that
they were so confident. It'll be done in the next day. Pick it up tomorrow. I'm like, oh shit, great. Right. I decide to go pick it up a few days later. And this is the part of me that was too trusting. Like I just talked about you being too trusting in that environment.
Yeah.
I just grabbed my dress and left. Right. I was like, if it's not right, y'all, I'm coming back. And they were like, yeah, yeah, totally. I get home. Wow.
Fuck.
Wow. I just wanted to cry. I was like, this is not.
I'm surprised you didn't.
I was on the verge. I was really pissed. I was like, this is terrible. This is actually terrible. This is ill-fitting. This is still ill-fitting.
After you done paid.
After I've paid. And now $200 has been spent.
Yeah.
And I still have to go out and buy an, oh, Lord.
Girl, and when you told me that, when you FaceTimed me and said that the dress still doesn't fit, I was in a state of shock. I'm like, what do you mean?
How? How could it still not fit?
Brittany, like, I want to let you know this dress, this dress does not fit. I'm like, huh?
It does not fit.
What do you mean?
I was at that point, I was in a state of shock as well. I'm like, I cannot believe this. Then I had to get in my car because I just knew I had to go check them. I'm like, you guys didn't do what the fuck you were supposed to do. He was like, I didn't even touch the bottom. You didn't ask me to do it. I took in the waist and the hips. And I said, oh, hell no. At this point, there's nothing I can do but go buy another dress. And you know that's paining me.
Girl.
That's paining me because after it's all said and done, now I'm $500 in the hole and this isn't even my day.
Girl.
It's not even my day.
It isn't.
I'm a guest.
Man, you better make it your day.
I'm a guest.
It's your day now. You're not the bride, but it's going to be your day in the way that it's spirit. Your day.
Yeah. It's going to have to be. But I said, Lord Jesus.
I'm happy you got into quick solution mode.
Yeah, it was kind of hard to do.
You figured it out quickly.
So I'll take a photo. By the time y'all hear this, the wedding have been done.
We've been there, right there. We've sent them on their
matrimony.
Way.
They'll
and
be
we
a
had
matrimony.
A good time. Hopefully the tailor don't fuck up my dress.
No, they won't. They won't. You're just getting a quick little nip tuck. They was turning it's my more, shit into a whole
no,
new gown.
No, it's more. The way she was taking it in, she went all up the sides, the neck. I'm like, oh, okay. See, this is how you really make it tailored to the body. You know?
I'm excited to
I didn't
see
even her. Know I had that much to take in, but when she was going in, I'm like, okay.
I hope you didn't get it too tight where you won't be able to
no,
sit,
no,
though.
No, I can okay. sit. I
okay.
can sit.
Okay, because you know the girls will be in a bandage dress.
No, it's not a bandage. It's still like, you know.
Flowy and body con. It's not body con.
No.
Okay, the restriction.
No.
That's another thing. He was like, if I take it up anymore, you're not going to be able to move your arm. That's what I just knew I said.
And
just
we
want to
dance and everything.
Give me this dress
back. We want to be able to dance.
Yeah, but I hate that. I hate that. But
I
figured it out. I'm out of the slump. But I was pissed.
Girl,
I was pissed. But I'm glad you're always there to offer counsel and support.
Count
like,
on
please.
Me. Count on me through thick and thin.
I'm like, I'm not even being dramatic because y'all know we got the Are You Being Dramatic episode. I'm like, girl, yeah. I'm not even being dramatic, but this is a
yeah.
real issue.
It wasn't giving drama.
I'm like, this is a real deal.
It was a real deal. Totally feel.
Yeah, but all's well that ends well.
Yeah. This last week was trying, but
this week is going to be good.
This week got to be better.
I'm actually really excited about this week. We're going to link with Ty for a cute little midweek link. Mm-hmm. And then the wedding will be on Friday. So
yeah, I have a busy weekend ahead. We're celebrating birthdays.
Same.
I got a baby shower.
Oh, yeah.
Wedding. It's going to be good. My mom's coming. Oh. She's hanging out with McKenzie. She's doing McKenzie here. I'm busy, but you know, she's going to be here.
When is she coming?
Friday, I think.
Cute. Okay, she said, I'm coming to see my baby.
Listen, her that she, the yeah, other baby. Yeah,
she dropping
I'm
in.
I'm like, I ain't seen that son yet, some of y'all in years.
She's dropping in. She said, girl, don't worry about me and mine.
Right.
I'm pulling up.
Yeah. So,
okay, well, that's good. That's
going to be a good week.
It is.
We're officially in Q4. I'm excited. I'm ready to grab this quarter by the motherfucking handlebars.
I am too. We're riding. I'm on the front of the handlebars. Listen, you know how we used to do.
Room on the Yamaha.
Girl, get on the handlebars. Why were we doing that? Get on the pegs. Ride on the bike. Sometimes we have somebody on the front and the motherfucking back.
Okay, now.
Yes.
Hell, what? Not on my bike.
Serious? Girl, on the mountain bikes. I mean, not the mountain bikes. The
Mongoose.
The Mongoose and the BMX bikes. Why were we on those? I had a gold and black and white bike, a silver bike, chrome Mongoose. I had gold pegs in the front and the back. I got a two-seater, man.
Okay, girl.
This is mini seats. So you could ride in the front and turn around where we're facing each other. Don't ride back like that.
Yeah.
Turn around and there's somebody on the back. I got y'all.
Okay.
I got y'all.
Well.
But that's how we ride into Q4.
So y'all on our pegs. On our pegs. We ride. We got the bike. Y'all are on the pegs.
Yes. 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 Yes.
So,
I think something else to share. I'm really feeling the check-in part of this episode.
Yeah. What's up?
I don't know if y'all know by now, but
what?
I think we could share by now.
Oh.
Coming November 1st,
yes,
the podcast will be widespread.
We're
going to be back in a few short weeks.
We are going to be back. I'm excited.
I am thrilled. We talked all about our transition back to widespread and our feelings on Patreon, like, you know, just being more candid there. But of course, y'all are our girls too, first, only, so, everybody,
you're
okay?
You're our girl.
Y'all are ours. So it's only right that we let y'all in, you know, on the tea too.
You will be able to find us wherever you listen to podcasts, mm-hmm. and you will be able to find full episodes on YouTube.
Video, yeah.
Full video episodes on YouTube. So we're back.
We back. We're very excited.
Yeah, I'm excited too.
It's been a great year and we're ready for what else is coming.
We are.
More.
Stepping into our widespread era.
Back into our widespread era. So yeah, it's going to be good. We're pumped.
Yeah, I'm very excited.
Yeah.
What I'm also excited about is today, chatting with y'all. We're in our goodie bag,
mm-hmm.
which I love. I love the goodie bag because, like we've mentioned before, these are episodes that are not centered around a theme. They're random, an assortment, if you will.
Yeah.
But they're necessary conversations.
Yeah, and it gives us a chance to just kind of get a little bit of this, a little bit of that. And I really love it.
Yeah, you don't know what you're going to get.
You don't. It's a C's box. Unless you walk in and ask for a sample, then
you know
exactly what you're getting.
You know
baby.
Exactly what you're getting. Can I get a vanilla caramel?
Listen, the way I rock in there, I'd like a milk chocolate with a buttercream.
Right.
Feeling.
Don't go away. More Black Girl Bravado after this.
Hey, Bookies. We got something special for you. Are you ready to dive into a celebration of Blackness that's as diverse as the experience it represents? Well, NPR's got you covered with Black Stories, Black Truths. This is a groundbreaking collection that's more than just a podcast. It's revelation.
What does Black representation in media mean to you? Because to me, it's about breaking down stereotypes, challenging biases, and also showcasing the rich tapestry of Black experiences.
For sure, absolutely. And Black Stories, Black Truths is the epitome of this celebration. Each episode is a living account of what it truly means to be Black today, and it's told from a unique Black perspective.
And I feel like these aren't just stories, like they're narratives of joy, resilience, empowerment, and also the incredible ability to create world-shifting things out of the struggle.
Seriously, you'll hear about everything from pop culture icons like Bobby Shmurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama, to discussions on vital topics like reparations, y'all. There's really no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths.
Have you tuned in yet? One of my favorite episodes is the one on how real self-care takes real systemic change. That's a must listen.
Yeah, I really think the hosts bring a tone that's celebratory. It's also informative and reflective, which I really can appreciate. Every episode is a journey. It offers a range of emotions and perspectives that keeps you hooked from start to finish. As soon as I turn it on, I'm like,
And let's not forget, Black perspectives haven't always been at the forefront of America's story. But now they are the story.
Period. So this is not just a podcast, y'all. It's a collection of some of NPR's best episodes showcasing the brilliance and resilience of the Black experience.
And we know NPR is known for its commitment to diverse storytelling. But with them presenting Black stories, Black truths, I would say that this is NPR with the noir twist.
So what are you waiting for? Turn on NPR today and immerse yourself in a range of voices as varied, nuanced, and Black as the incredible country we reflect.
And remember, stories should never be about us without us. Listen now to Black Stories, Black Truths from NPR, available wherever you get your podcast. Y'all should know by now that we love progression over here. Let's chat about what everyday progress truly means to us. Whether it's hitting those small milestones or treating ourselves to a little something-something after a month of disciplined budgeting, progress is all about balance and staying motivated. And speaking of budgeting and reaching financial goals while still enjoying life's little pleasures, have you heard about Chime? Chime's checking account offers some amazing features that can help you along your financial journey. Let me tell you about one feature that really stands out to me. Chime's Spot Me. We've all been there, right? Dealing with overdraft fees can really throw a wrench in your financial plans. But with Chime, you can overdraft up to $200 with no fees. You heard me right, no fees. It's like having a safety net for those unexpected moments. Y'all, I had a friend who was always getting hit with hefty overdraft fees. It was a mess trying to sort it out. How do you really get ahead with that? But with Chime, you can avoid those headaches and get back on track with ease. Plus, Chime isn't just a bank, it's a community. With Boost, you can increase your SpotMe limit by receiving boosts from your friends. It's like having your financial back covered by your squad. So, if you're ready to take control of your finances and wave goodbye to those pesky monthly fees, open your Chime account today. Just head over to chime.com/bravado. That's chime.com/bravado. Chime feels like progress. Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. Spot Me eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Boosts are available to eligible Chime members enrolled in Spot Me and are subject to monthly limits. Terms and conditions apply. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. Yeah. So, what we're talking about today, like we mentioned at the top,
what
is the slipping and the sliding,
yeah,
that can sometimes occur when we're dealing with relationships,
yeah, mm-hmm.
inside of them and outside of them.
Yeah.
There's something that happens, okay,
mm-hmm.
and a maybe not so surprising fact to some of y'all is that many couples, many people that are in relationships, they slide into transitions rather than deciding,
mm-hmm.
you know, and we're talking about major transitions like moving in together, having a baby, starting yeah. a relationship, getting married, heavy hitters.
Yeah. The milestones, the milestone transitions.
Yeah. The things that matter. And imagine that. Imagine sliding into something that matters and not making a conscious decision about what you want your next step to be.
I've been on a slip and slide before.
I have too.
I've been on one.
I think we all have. Maybe not all, but a lot of us have found ourselves in situationships and we like, hold up.
Right.
How the fuck did I end up in a situationship?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Hold up. How did I find myself in this position at this job?
They don't love you like I love you. Yeah. Also, y'all, pardon me. I might have a little cough here and there. She's battling.
Yeah.
So just want to make sure.
Yeah. She is battling and I hope she doesn't hit me.
I might.
So I think it's appropriate for us to talk about what sliding looks like and what deciding looks like.
Yes. So sliding through transitions looks like mainly taking the convenient route, right? It's like, oh, the example would be, imagine you are in a relationship dating somebody. Y'all live in two separate places. They leave a toothbrush. Then they leave a few items, a little deodorant, some hair care products, whatever it might
boxers
be.
Boxers for your house.
Yeah, boxers in case they come over, you know, impromptu. Then all of their things now have a drawer.
Now they got a few things there. They leaving their work shit there. Their iPad, their PlayStation. That's happened to you.
That PlayStation was there. That was the last thing he took. I'm like, come get the PlayStation. You're leaving this.
The game console is here. The game console is here. And then after a while, it's like, oh, maybe it's time for a lease renewal. Well, instead of you being at your place and me being at my place, we might as well just live together and save rent, save mm-hmm. money. Mm-hmm. So instead of it being a like very intentional conversation, it's just like, it just makes sense. It's right. convenient. We're already here. We might as well.
Right.
That's sliding. Do yeah. you want to share what deciding would look like?
Yes. So on the contrary, mm-hmm. we have deciding. So what deciding looks like in your relationships and with these transitions is being very intentional, having the conversations, discussing the pros and the cons, discussing your intentions.
Yeah.
So if we're using the move-in example, it's like, okay, we are considering moving in together. Why are we considering moving in together? What is our end goal? We had the homegirl send in the questions, a couple homegirls send in questions about moving in with their partner. And sometimes we're like, okay, this just makes sense. It's the next step. And then we end up not getting what our ultimate goal is when we decide to take that step. But when you decide and you have these conversations and you set the intentions at the forefront and you set your goals and you agree upon them, it's like, okay, we know what we're doing.
Right.
The expectations are more likely to be met.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I do know.
Deciding sounds better to me.
I think as grown, not even as grown. Well, we're grown now figuring it out. Because I think this is something that we're all like familiar with, but we just don't have language for it. And it's like, oh, I've caught myself in that situation. Like I said, I've been on a slip and slide.
Girl, when I sit back and I really think,
mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh. Because like you said, we're making decisions. The easy thing to do is make decisions out of convenience.
Yeah.
You know, it low key be feeling good.
It's like, we ain't got to put no thought into it. Let's just get it. Let's get it, baby.
We do. Mm-hmm. And y'all, there was a study done in 2006 by Stanley Rhodes and Markman, right? So they published the model for sliding and deciding. And they described all of these potential risks that can happen when you slide into something. Mm-hmm. And this is very important for me because, like you said, we all know, like, in a general sense about sliding and deciding or whatever. But when you really think about the implications, when you really sit back, you start to move different.
Yeah.
You know, you go into these situations, these conversations with a broader and a different perspective.
Yeah, when you know better, you do better. And when we were preparing to have this conversation, it was like, wow, as we know our audience that we have a lot of young little sisters and, you know, who are in these formative years as in their womanhood, where if you might have learned or heard this topic or this concept, you will take heed and be like, hold on. I'm finding myself in this position. What did I hear about this?
Or right.
This is that concept. And you might save yourself a lot of heartache, a lot of trouble, a lot of unnecessary bullshit.
Yeah.
Because we're 35. By the time y'all hear this, I'm probably 35.
Yeah.
In our mid-30s.
Yeah.
We have learned some things. We've spun the block. We picked up extra tools and now it's giving Sankofa. We giving them back.
We're able to help you.
Take this information and run with it, please.
And they don't do these studies for nothing.
Right.
If people are really sitting up here doing studies, that means that this is really a broader topic.
Consider.
It's something to consider.
Something to consider.
So this specific study on sliding and deciding was on based around relationships and people cohabiting and how cohabiting can affect marriage and relationships overall, right? So in the sliding versus deciding when it comes to making decisions without intentionality. So yeah. Some of the risks are the pressure to stay in a relationship can increase. And this is regardless of if the relationship is a fit or not. Regardless of if you know that there is some shit that ain't right.
Right.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Regardless if you have mutual clarity on your future.
Yeah.
It's called relationship inertia.
Yes.
Where we feel like, you know, we in it, you know.
It's just the natural movement. The progression is pushing you forward.
Yes.
Not being like, do we really want to do this? That move-in one, this one's really risky, y'all. This one's really, really risky. I battle with this thought that I had never lived with a partner before Andres and I moved together. And I was kind of like, I don't really want to. This is one of the cons for me. Although I know that if it ain't right, baby, I'm the only person on the leash. You know,
every time you say that, I can't.
You know what it is?
I can't. But no, people do go into it with. Did you finish your thought?
No, I'm just saying that a lot of people, even friends that we know, it's like, you know, the relationship has come to an end and then you're unable to really release or cut the cord cleanly because it's like, damn, we just renewed a lease or we're living here together or we've built a life of things where we share everything together.
It's too expensive to live alone.
Yeah, it makes it more complex to just be like, you know what? This ain't right no more.
Right.
I'm gonna just get up out of here. And I think that that shouldn't be your reason for not moving in. However, that shouldn't be your reason to stay. But sliding into these decisions will make you put you in that position. But I do want to empower the girls who are, if you're living with somebody and it's no longer fit, get your ass up out of here.
I know. You have that.
Be empowered. You better find a homegirl to roommate with.
I know.
Girl, you ready to move? Something. I mean, come on.
Because come on. I've had a couple of people try to slide me into something like this. Talking about, you know, it makes sense. We could do that. And for a moment, I was starting to think about it. But then I'm like, no. I really want to decide about something like that. You know, like I really wanted to feel, I know that I'm more on the apprehensive end. I've been growing more.
Yeah.
But I know naturally I'm more on like the,
Yeah.
But still, I want to be like, feel like, you know, we're really making a conscious decision, not, you know, I need because, a place.
Yeah. Like, or because things are high. During the pandemic, we've seen a lot of that. Like people living together due to the context and nature of what was going on in the world. And then, there was a lot of beautiful relationships that came out of it, but there was a lot of situations that maybe shouldn't have happened.
Forced.
Out of just like, this is convenient. This is convenient. This makes sense.
It makes sense for sure.
We got a shelter in place, so come on over here.
Come on over here. Get on over here. We might as well be together.
Be together.
We can't go outside. We can't meet nobody.
No, we're going to be on each other.
And you can literally slide.
another risk, y'all, is lower relationship or marital satisfaction. You know the old saying. Why buy
the cow if you get the milk for free?
Okay. Then you're battling. That's another thing, like doing a lot of wifely duties, or if you're a man who doing a lot of husband duties.
Yeah, taking care of all the bills.
Yeah, and you're not getting the marital perks, I guess. Like, you know, it'll lead to being more dissatisfied. Something else that I'd like to consider is, I'm so glad that I didn't get, that I didn't move in with a partner when I was really young, like a young 20 something, because I feel like I would be resentful doing all of that for a nigga that's not my husband.
It can be a resentment.
You know?
Yeah.
And I think that there was, I'm going to share my story later.
Share your story.
I'm going to share my story later. Go ahead.
Another risk, or the final risk that we'll be sharing, is that there can be a lot of ambiguity in your relationships, right? When you're sliding.
Yeah.
When you're sliding. There's a little example that I'm going to share. And I'm not going to read this whole thing. But basically, it was talking about like how two people, they were dating. They had the knowledge that there was some areas of opportunity, right? Like they both didn't have necessarily positive views of marriage because of their familial upbringing. They had some relational issues that hadn't been resolved. Like one had an anxious attachment style. The other one had some addiction problems. However, they're like, we're together. And the woman was like, in her mind, I know that I want to be married. So us moving in together
can be a catalyst.
While she's thinking that, the person that she's dating is not really sold on the idea of marriage. She doesn't really see the perks of it, but they agree to move in together because of convenience. So they move in together. The woman is thinking, you know, we're working towards marriage, of course, because we done moved in together and that's the obvious next step. And he's thinking, I don't give a damn. Like, you know, he's actually not thinking about that.
Right.
And that can create ambiguity because it's like, okay, what are we really doing this for? What's happening? We haven't had no clear conversations, but I do have these desires and I'm hoping that that is what's about to happen. And sometimes it doesn't. And imagine how you feel, how you can feel or do feel.
Yeah.
Like the hell?
Let down. Shattered. But the issue is it was never discussed.
It was never crystal clear.
It was never discussed, y'all.
Yeah.
So, yes. Ultimately, we know that intentionality helps us breed more success. That's with anything in our life, but really within your relationships and long-term relationships. Mm-hmm. The more we sit down and say, what decisions are we making together with mindfulness at the forefront? We're looking at better success rates.
We are. we're looking at more stability and trust within the relationship because you do feel stable.
Yeah.
You definitely do. If you have conversations and y'all tracking together, it's like, okay, I'm trusting.
Yeah, I know you're not leading me astray.
Yes. Nigga. Y'all want to lead. Where you leading me?
Where are we going? I need to know, nigga. What's on the GPS? Hell.
What it say? Where are we going?
Where it say? Hades?
But also, resentment can be decreased. We're not just doing things and then saying, I'm doing all this thinking that, you know, this was going to lead us somewhere and now we ain't, and now I'm pissed.
And that's the worst place to be. Like feeling like you're giving and you don't get what you expect to get out of it, although your expectations were never really communicated.
Yeah, they've just been internal.
Internalized. And I've been there too before. I have to check myself from doing that now. I'm like, wait, hold on.
Yeah.
You ain't even tell nobody that was your expectation.
Yeah.
And now you're sitting up here in a knot. Untie right. yourself, queen.
Release yourself, queen.
Untie yourself.
Free yourself.
Please.
Shit. So can you recall a specific instance where you felt like you were sliding into a decision rather than deciding. Like choosing it. Yeah.
Actively. This was a story that I was going to tell y'all. And all of the risks that we talked about are riddled in this story. At one point, I was living in a place. I was much younger and I was in my long-term relationship at the time. And I was in a place where the rent was significantly, it was high. It was high for a one bedroom. So my mom, being a great parent, was subsidizing a portion of the rent. She was like giving me $500 or $600 extra towards the rent. So I'm like, cool. Towards the end of the lease, the rent was going up. And my mom was like, look, you know, I'm not going to keep subsidizing. You're going to have to decide if you're going to pay the full rent or if you're going to move from this place. At the time, like I mentioned, I'm in a long-term relationship. We've been together forever.
Yeah.
You over here, you got a motherfucking key. Not only to my house, but to the gate. Nigga, I'm buzzing myself in. Why am I buzzing myself in? Because you got my main key. That used to piss me off. You have things here that used to really grind my motherfucking gears. But,
and you the one that set it up that way.
I didn't set it up that way. He stole it. You know niggas be immature. He took it and we was battling. I never got it back. You know, it'd be a thing. But either way, he had it and I didn't. And I'm like letting you be super comfortable here. I'm leaving, coming back. You still here. You setting up shop, whatever it is. So when the lease renewal came and the instruction from my mom came that, what are you doing? Where are we at with it? I brought that to his attention. I'm like, yo, this is probably the best time for you to decide to move in. But it's convenient. So let's just get it. We already here.
Right.
Let's just make it a thing.
And I'm at this point, I need the subsidy.
I need someone to pick up this difference. Shit. Let's make it work.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's do this. Ultimately, we didn't do it, but I was only like, at the time, I felt like that made the most like sense since we had been together so long. But it wasn't a decision that I was making like, is this somebody I want to live with? I hated the way he kept the home.
Yeah.
I hated it. I'm like, I'm picking up hot Cheeto crumbs. I'm picking up behind you. Nigga. Germany, I don't like please. That. I don't like that. I don't like to be able to tell that you were here. That's what I don't like. You know, I'm like, I like it to look unlived in.
Girl, we ain't even gonna go down that road.
I do. Just clean up behind yourself. But I was like, eh. So ultimately, we didn't. And I'm so grateful that we didn't, because I know that I would have been resentful. I would have been miserable. And it would have been a progressive next step to likely us getting married. But that's not the kind of person that I could see myself now being married to.
Mm.
And I would have been locked into a marriage because I'm a loyal ass bitch.
Yeah.
Loyal to the soil.
And we would have, like, we done did all this. We done spent all this.
We would have never got a divorce. I would have been like, oh, we locked in. We would have just rolled it out. I would have been in a boring ass marriage.
Yeah.
Doing hella much.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, Lord, this is why he closes doors. And you know the
and
rest.
And you gotta let him keep
you know
closed.
What they say about the closed doors. At that time, I felt heartbroken. I was like, dang, you don't wanna, we shouldn't, no?
Yeah, I know, I remember.
And I'm like, this is stupid. I was stressed too. I'm like, now I gotta move. Nigga, I love this place.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? When one door closes, another opens.
Listen.
And it closed right on him. Get out of here. Get out of my life.
Thankfully, it closed.
Thankfully.
It's like that meme where they have that little raggedy bear.
That bear.
You want that little raggedy bear, and behind God's back is a big stuffy.
A big teddy bear.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's a terrible person.
No.
That's another thing.
That's not what we're saying. We're not saying that people are terrible. They just aren't good
fit. It don't be a fit. And sometimes we will find ourselves in situations where it's like, that wasn't a fit from the beginning. It wasn't a fit when you tried to make it fit. Mm-hmm. And now you're walking around with corns and bunions. Yeah. Your feet are hurting because you put your motherfucking foot
in a shoe
that was never your size.
It was never your size. It never was supposed to fit. And you forced it.
Feet just
crumbled up. Like them Beyonce, you know how we was. Shoes just, feet just in a knot. In a knot. Toes crip walking.
Germany, please.
Girl. What about you? Have you ever found yourself in a situation?
I definitely have. And I'm going to share it with y'all right after this break. Mm-hmm. So yeah, y'all, I have slipped and slid and took it to the house.
Listen, 305. I love that song.
I have. I really have. Like, so in my long-term relationship, I have made copies of keys and distributed them like Mike and Ike's. Listen. I have. In my long-term relationship, I remember I was like, or I remember who initiated it, probably him. And he was like, you know,
I need a key.
I need a drawer. I need somewhere to like keep my stuff. Because He kept keeping stuff. Like first it was a pair of shoes. Then I noticed he didn't pack up them shoes when he left. So shoes started building up. Then clothes started building up. And I'm like, well, let me clear out space for the clothes. Yeah. Like, you know, they don't need to just, they need a space. So then that became, you got a shelf, you got a couple of shelves, you got a whole drawer, you have your shoes here, yeah. The console's coming, you need a key made. It turned into us basically living together, but the sick part is there was no contribution.
Yeah. It's all on my back. Financially, I'm
financially,
still carrying the burden.
I'm paying for this place, but you're able to come to a home. He didn't have his own apartment. Yeah. He was living at home, so he was able to have a place where he could feel like an adult.
And that kills me.
He has. You
Why
know?
Would you not want to help me?
Right. He was helping by bringing in like paper towels and tissue and Simply Lemonade.
And dick. Leave the dick at the door. Bring some dollars.
Please.
I don't need no paper towels. If you give me the money, D. I can pay for the paper towels.
Let's switch out the D that we're providing. Please. Take the dick and give me dollars.
Dollars.
Shit.
Gross sister, boy, I need some money. Hell no.
Listen. Mm-mm. So that definitely turned into like basically a cohabiting, an unofficial cohabiting situation to the point where when we broke up, like y'all, he was like, so you're kicking me out? I'm like, kicking you out? I'm not kicking you out. We're you breaking up. Here. Like, give me my key. He was like, you know, this is really ridiculous that you're just kicking me out. You didn't give me no warning. I have to go find a place. I'm like, you have a place.
Technically,
your
it
parents.
Was his place.
Like,
what is that? Squatting rules?
Yeah, you're getting mail. Mail was coming. Y'all, he was getting mail there.
You did have to evict him then. You had to give him a 30-day notice.
Thankfully, I didn't have to go.
Luckily, he didn't know the rules.
Yeah, he didn't know the rules. But once we were broken up, I'm getting triggered every time a piece of mail come. I'm like, why is he on? Like,
would have changed the address here,
the
boy.
The mail
please.
Was coming.
Yeah, hell no.
It was just, that was definitely a side. And even on another scale, I was going to say on a smaller scale, but this is pretty big. Like, we talked about transitions. Like, I have had the mentality of if I sleep with someone, and I don't be sleeping with hella people, so hold your judgment.
But when I do,
I'm like, oh, we're together. And this is pre-conversation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You slide in here, we slide into a relationship.
We are together.
In my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. My mind too. That's
and that's
mind.
Where there's become confusion for me in the past because we didn't have a conversation and I'm thinking, okay, if we're having sex with each other, we're obviously only having sex with each other. So that means that we're exclusive and we're in a relationship.
You my boyfriend. Listen, that's when me and my man became official. I done told y'all time and time again. Raw sex equals couple for me in my home. Boy, he was my man after that. I'm like, oh, this is my man. And we didn't decide on it yet. We didn't sit down and say, okay, so we had.
Yeah.
And I'm just being completely honest.
Yeah.
After that night, it didn't give. So where do you see this going?
No.
Are we a couple?
It don't be giving that. It'd be like, you know, we'll talk about it amongst the girls. Kiki, like, so, you know, yeah, that's my man.
Yeah, we go together.
That's
we
my man. Together. We go together.
But then be looking up months later, like, so do we
Do we
really
go, together?
Go together?
Confused. Like, and then having conversations after the fact, like, so are you dating
are
anyone
we,
else?
Are we then it gives the exclusive. Now, are we exclusive? Are we official? Damn. Now I'm having to ask you, are we official? And you know, I was really moaned
and
because
I'm tired.
The official came way later. I'm like,
you really got shamed. But the thing is, we both was like that one meme when you and your boyfriend, he was like them best friends that be looking at each other talking about, exactly. Girl, I was introducing people undressed as her boyfriend, telling, you know, my mom, yeah, me, I'm going out with Jeremy and her boyfriend, blah, 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 blah.
He was. And then, in my soul, he was already mine. It was official. It wasn't official until months later, y'all, but it was official for me the day that we laid.
Yeah.
The day that we laid, it was official.
Exactly.
And that's really sick. That's really sick. I'm going to tell y'all this. If you're that kind of girl who can have sex, have no emotional attachment, and it'd be like, I don't really want a relationship out of you. Great, do that. But right. As a woman who really does value relationship and being official and only really having sex with an intimate, like having that type of intimacy with my romantic partner, I really could have played myself if I didn't end up in a relationship with this person. I would have been like, nigga, we've been fucking.
I know.
Raw.
And that's when you have the resentment.
And then I would have been looking crazy. But luckily, I was just crazy when it came.
Yeah, I'm like, not doing that no more. I would never do that anymore at this point. But this I have done age. It.
Yeah,
I've done I it. I have too. Done it. And sometimes it has worked in my favor and sometimes it hasn't. It's like, oh. Well.
Yeah, I ain't new here. I ain't new here. I was just doing it 4 years ago. That was 4 years ago, babe. And I was doing it. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's also something. See, you going to be done for a long time.
What?
You don't just wake up and start knowing what the fuck to do. That just happened like three and a half years ago.
Oh, yeah, girl,
like,
it just happened to me. I don't even want to say the years.
Like, you're constantly growing, evolving, learning from your, not mistakes, but lessons.
So it's not
like, oh, if you're 25, you should just not be making certain decisions. It's just being more cognitively aware, more cognizant of issues or situations where it's like, hold on.
Yeah.
Can help, you know, avoid a misstep.
Like, you know, I didn't like how that felt. I didn't like how that went. Moving
and
forward.
And hindsight is 2020.
We're going to have the decisions. And I know sometimes we don't like to have, the conversations. And I know sometimes we don't like to have the conversations because they can be intimidating and we don't want, you know, people to think we're doing too much. But think I'm doing too much.
Yeah, I'm doing a lot.
Think I'm doing too much. Look at me as one of those girls who's serious.
Exactly. You're gonna think I'm serious. You're going to know.
You're going to know.
You're actually going to know.
Yeah. Okay, y'all, before we get into our tips and solutions,
yeah,
we have some things that we need to cover here. If you're new here, you have a few duties that you have to execute.
Mm-hmm.
Following the show, rating the show, and clicking that bell so that you receive notifications about new episodes.
Yes.
Simple.
Yeah, make sure you engage if you like the episode. Share it. Let us know. Send it in your group chat to your home. Girls, like, girl, look, this is definitely speaking to us. This is speaking to you. Because sometimes it be speaking directly to your home girl. You can't really say why. Here, send them that passive aggressive.
Like sneak.
Yeah, this is for you.
Yeah.
Another announcement that we want to just keep at the forefront of your mind is that we are hosting an amazing retreat in Belize, May 3rd through the 7th, 2024. We will be on the island of Thatch Key, on the Key.
I cannot wait, girl.
In the Key of Belize.
I cannot wait.
Just fellowshipping and having a really great time, connecting with like-minded women, resting, relaxing, recharging, resetting, doing all the things, unlocking sisterhood. If that sounds like an experience that you're like, I've been craving linking up with some bad bitches.
Listen.
Out of town.
Thugging with your ram.
Listen, if that sounds like you. And we do the fun things, but we also do the work.
Yeah.
And if you're looking for both a sick combo, then you might want to click the link that's in the description and get all the details and find a room that's good for you. This retreat has already sold out once, and we didn't make a big deal when we did it the first time. But no. I do want to tell y'all, it's going to sell out again. There's literally a handful of spots, and we only added those handful of spots because the girls were sad that they have missed out on the first round of spots. So please take advantage. We won't be adding any additional spots after these.
We don't have
no
more to add.
We don't.
We don't have no more to add.
We had to go beg for these.
We do. So if it's really on your heart,
make a move.
Make the decision.
We
make the commitment.
Payment plans.
Honor
too.
Yourself. There are payment plans. And the sooner you act, the more you can break it down.
Period.
The more time you have to break it down.
More pieces.
The more time you have to break it down. So get your spot and we'll see you in Belize.
Yes.
Now, if you want to connect before we get to Belize, you can do that by joining us on Patreon in the Homegirl Hangout. We have a time over there. We have our book club where we're reading a really good book. We also have bonus episodes. So you get 3 additional bonus episodes over there. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know a sweeter deal. Yeah. We have our monthly check-in where they already knew that we were going to be widespread. You see?
Exactly.
They already knew because they're a part of the gang. So if you want to know about what's happening with the podcast and just in our lives, then I suggest you get over there. Because that's where we dish the tea, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You want to shout out the new patrons?
Yes, I do. I actually
The wind
do.
Beneath our wings.
I want to shout out Morgan.
Hey, Morgan.
Kendall.
Hey, Kendall.
Talia.
Hey, I love the spelling. Talia.
Yeah. And Kayla.
One thing black people going to do, we're going to flip a name.
Listen.
We're going to name our kid
gonna
a name.
We're going to make it unique.
Unique. And Kayla. Hey, Kayla. Welcome to the gang.
Welcome, girlies.
It's so good to have y'all.
It is. Make sure y'all join us over on Discord as well.
Yes.
Okay.
I think it's time to get into our solutions.
Back to the show.
Our tools for our toolkit. Okay, y'all. So we would not be the girls that you love, if we did not provide you with some solutions, some tools, and ways for you to really get a hold of this shit. So y'all, having an intentional point of view within your romantic relationships versus like a point of view that's rooted in either timelines or convenience is really how we win. That's how we win. And we avoid sliding into situations that we don't have no business being in.
Seriously?
Yeah, it is. It's like, we have to take our minds out of this. Oh, we've been together 3 years, so we should move together. Oh, we've been together 5 years, so maybe it's time for marriage. Oh, we've been together and now we should have a baby.
Yeah.
Like, come on, y'all. We got to start really thinking critically. We got to put our critical thinking skills to the test.
We got to get off of cruise control.
Yeah.
And put that thing in sport and that foot on that gas.
Yes. So the first solution.
Put something into the map.
The first solution to avoid sliding in your relationship and move more closely to deciding is to regularly check in and discuss your future. You heard the future, not just the present, but the future and the state of your relationship. You got to do both. It's a combo.
Yeah.
So having honest conversations is the best way to be intentional with your partner, allowing yourself to be honest, open, vulnerable. What Pastor Mike say before he start getting weird? Hot.
Hot. Honest, hot, open, and
honest, open, and transparent. You know, having those moments, he started getting weird, to help y'all decide about the next phases of the relationship.
Yeah.
So it's good to be like, where do you see us in 6 months? Or where do we see us in 6 months? Where do you see us in a year? Where do you see this going in 5 years? So on and so forth. You know, it is sometimes we feel like, oh, I don't want to say too much because I'm going to be doing too much. Or he going to think that I'm coming on strong. Nigga, come on strong.
Come.
Strong arm it.
I got to come because we don't want to coast.
We don't.
We don't want to coast. And it's okay to be the initiator of some of these conversations.
Yes.
You know, and I think it'll create a system and a normalcy.
Mm-hmm.
Once you keep having the conversations, it won't feel like you're coming on hot. It feels like you already know what the fuck going on. We always do this.
Or set a precedent. Like every 6 months, we'll check in about the state of our relationship and what progressively, how we feel about where we're tracking. Then you already know, okay, we checked in January. We checking in June. We're going to check in, you know, whatever it looks like for you guys. And if you don't feel comfortable, move into the next phase of whatever, you know, that you guys talk about. Say that. Just be upfront and honest. Because people can really appreciate when you're just telling them, I'm not ready to take that next step.
Right.
I don't want to do it. Versus you moving into the next step and you feeling like I done did the resentment.
Right. I'm just doing it. I didn't want to disappoint her. Be honest. People will respect that and it'll allow people to make the best decision for themselves.
And remain authentic.
Yes.
Authenticity. I don't think we talk about authenticity within our romantic relationships enough.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, be yourself. Be who you are. State what it is that you want, your expectations, and allow a person to see you fully so that they can decide, do I really want to be with this person? This person? Because sometimes we be beating around the bush. And it be me too.
We do. I think it's so important to have these conversations explicitly.
Yeah.
They really are. Again.
You're a very explicit girl.
I am, girl. I will. I'll be like, I don't like how you do that. Or sometimes I can take some of the bluntness off, but I really am because I need you to know. And then you know what? When I make my decisions, it don't be coming out of left field. It's like, you know, we've been talking about this and not being explicit about it.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. Put some respect on my name.
I appreciate that about you. You do. You're like, you need to just say. I'm like, trying
I'm like,
to get the
girl, say it. Because Germany be joking and shit. She be like, well, you know what we done.
It's a sprinkle. Like, it's sprinkled in. I'm like, you know what we. Yeah.
Okay, y'all. Another way
Yeah, that way.
Yeah, another way that we can be intentional with our relationships is actively listening to what our partner is communicating with us, to us, during these check-ins. So once we have the space of being honest and transparent and authentic and all that shit, we're going to take heed to what our partner communicates, okay? We're listening and we're acting on what's being said. And also noticing, take what people say for face value. Listen,
because they'll be telling you. They'll be telling you. We'll be making it to another
story. Like, okay, you saying you don't really, that's not really your vibe, but you just saying that. You're going to come around and they keep telling you that, you know, they're not.
Girl, I said it because I meant it.
Right.
Especially men. The real ones be like, I told you. Yeah. I told you I didn't want to be married. I told you I didn't want no kids. And I told you.
That's why you have to ask people about their expectations.
Yeah.
And it's very, maybe it's not easy, but it's easier for us to express what our expectations are. And then, like, if our partner's just like, oh, okay, you know, or they don't oppose, we assume that they have the same expectations. Yeah. Like, okay, yeah, they're on board. They're on board. Because when I said what mine were, they were like, okay, or they didn't oppose. No, ask them, what are your expectations? What are you seeing for us?
Yeah.
Or for yourself?
I think also being really candid and explicit about what does a timeline look like for you versus somebody. If we say we're going to do this in a couple years, what does a couple look like to you? How do you define a couple? Girl,
because that could be subjective.
Girl. I'm you like, nigga, you said a couple.
With that too.
A couple be two for me.
In 2 years.
In two. Because you said a couple and I interpreted that as two.
Listen, because we will have
couple
a couple
ain't never been three.
The That's way you. We be doing the girl math.
Listen, right. He we said in a couple years it. We going to, I'll be like, that's two.
Right.
And then in another couple, we going to do that. Two is always a couple. Three is few.
And sometimes few can really.
I don't like, few has always been three.
It's been three for me too.
Four
but
and five is many. Now you're going to say in the many years, we going to do that.
Yeah.
If you say a few, then I'm already clocking you. I done already put this shit together in my head. Yes.
At the end of the day, don't make no decisions. Don't come to no decision without intentionally and actively discussing and listening and then making sure you comprehend.
Yeah. What y'all comprehension skills.
Yeah.
Off.
Like, okay, so are you saying that? I want to make sure I understand this.
Yeah.
Are you saying, because sometimes people do talk in riddles and shit. Maybe if it's not even intentional.
Yeah.
Sometimes these conversations are uncomfortable.
Do be tight, but they be right.
Yeah.
Last tip, y'all, is to respect each other's views. A lot of conflict can be resolved. The conflict that naturally comes up in our relationships where it's not even a big deal, it's just like we disagree, you know, can be resolved by just respecting where each other are coming from, offering a little bit of empathy, understanding where your partner might be coming from. If they say, yo, I don't feel like I'm ready to take that next step right now, allow them to explain why. Is it financially? Is it you feel unprepared? Is it because you haven't seen great examples of this and you're fearful? What is it? And then you can empathize and like appreciate them sharing and being honest with you.
Listen.
You know, maybe they're nervous. Maybe they're anxious. Maybe, you know, whatever the next step is or decision is, whatever that is, empathize with it.
And respect.
Yeah. You want me to keep going?
Yeah.
Okay. And also, we know that pressure from our partners can also make us slide into decisions. Somebody being like, you know, we need to. The economy is. It's been so long. I'm waiting. I really want to be a mama.
Girl.
And now, a lot of that pressure, if you have a partner who just wants to make you happy, it'll be like, I'll sacrifice. I'll take the L. Okay, we can. And maybe we're making a decision sooner than we would ideally want to. But it's like, I can compromise. But it's not fair to pressure your partner into doing something that they might not be ready to do.
It's not.
It's not right.
It's not. You know, this little pressure and shit. And then also not having the empathy. I remember in my last relationship, we were talking about the move in. He had also lived with his previous partner for a long amount of time. So he had already
gotten his stint.
Right. He had already, you know, experienced it. So it wasn't as foreign to him or whatever. So he was talking to me like, you know, this is a prerequisite.
Marriage?
Yeah, to marriage. Oh, okay. Like, you know, you should definitely live with someone before or not. And I'm like, yeah, I hear all that shit you're talking. And it, right. Yeah, it sounds good. But what I need to feel comfortable is to see some stability. Listen. I don't want to hear all that. Mm-hmm. So I don't feel comfortable.
And that's just that.
I don't feel comfortable till I see that. So respect it. Respect don't try to it. Pressure me, because I felt like in one of those moments or conversations, he was like, you know, you're just like, you just never did it before. That's why you're just so. I'm like, I haven't,
it's like,
but
trying
also
to sun you, little bro, you.
Yeah. I'm like, no, I haven't done it before, but I'm not stupid.
Yeah, and you don't have to have done it before to know what the fuck it takes to get there.
Exactly.
Come on, y'all. So in a nutshell, if conflict arises around moving towards the next phase or the next step within the relationship, y'all need to sit down and decide what makes sense for both of y'all, what y'all both comfortable doing.
I agree.
I might be ready right now. You're not ready. So how long do you think it'll take you to get ready?
Give me some time.
What time? What does that time look like? Can we agree on a year? Can we agree on checking back in 6 months? And we establish where we are from there and then make your decision. Sometimes all you got to do is let a motherfucker get a little time and they'll show you what the fuck really going on.
You will.
They'll show you, oh, I'm not really doing what you said, what I said I was going to do.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm all for the give me some time. I'll give you
and
some
I'll
time.
Get back to you.
Yeah.
I'll come back around.
So here are some questions that can help you prevent sliding in your relationships. Have a sit down, you know,
yeah.
Stir the pot and get to talking. Mm. So you can say, you can ask your partner or whoever, how do you feel about the progression of our relationship? Do you think we're making conscious decisions or simply going with the flow? Mm.
I was a go with the flow girl at one point, but not no more. The flow has stopped. The flow has stopped.
You loved it too. You were wearing
it. I didn't love it, but I was doing it. I don't do put no words in my mouth.
The girl,
I
thought you said, you know, I like being go with the flow. I thought I heard you say that a couple
maybe
times.
Maybe young. Maybe what I thought go with the flow was.
Right.
The older you get, it's like, I really don't like that. Nigga, where's the structure?
Period.
I don't want to flow. I want to flow within a structured environment.
Yeah. Within the parameters that we set. Within the parameters that we set, I could flow on.
I could flow within the structure.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's T.
Yeah.
Another question that you can ask is, have you ever felt pressured to make a decision in our relationship? And if so, how did that make you feel? We're removing pressure. Creating a safe space, if you will.
Yeah. And removing our ego. Allowing people to say what it is that they want to say. Because sometimes it hurts your feelings to know that you're putting the pressure on and you're, I'm not
yeah,
ready.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's kind of like, damn, I'm doing that.
Yeah, I'm doing it. Yeah.
Yeah. So when you ask these questions, make sure you're coming from a place where you can listen. You can act, you know, make yourself available and not have your ego be a part of the
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, being all defensive.
Yeah.
And then a final question that you can ask is, are there any areas in our relationship where you like to have more open and explicit conversations about choices and commitments? Mm. This is a goal. This is golden.
Yeah, write that down, y'all.
This is golden.
Circle
hey.
Back there. Put a pin in it.
Yeah.
Put a pin in that one and bring that to the table. Nigga gonna be shaking when you pull these questions or you pull your notes out.
He gonna be so, like, oh, what? Turn that podcast
exactly.
off.
You're getting too liberated. You're getting too liberated.
But imagine. This is how you have agency.
Yeah.
This is how you're really able to feel good in the decisions that you make and walk around feeling empowered. This is not to try to, like, you know, pull the rug from anybody's feet, but it really is like, you know what? I feel good about this.
Yeah.
I feel adult. I feel mature.
And that's what we want for you.
Okay, y'all. So we have reached the final segment of the show. Sometimes we pick up our pen and drop our gem, but today we are picking up the phone and answering a call from a homegirl. So we have a homegirl hotline. If you have questions that you want our advice or counsel on, you can call the number that is down in the show notes. You can send us an email.
Text
We're here
us.
To answer them. Yeah, you can send us a text. We're here to answer them. So homegirl rang, we answered. She says, hey, y'all, I wanted to ask about a specific communication skill scenario that happened between me, 24 years old, and my 23-year-old brother, but can probably apply to other relationships. My brother is going through some depression, uncertainty period, and tends to wake up in a mood and rub his bad attitude onto others. 2 weeks ago, my brother was again in a mood. He came home from being out, and me, being considerate, asked, where'd you go? To which he coldly replied, somewhere. All right, whatever. I ain't gonna budge. Convo over. Then minutes later, I walked into the restroom to him using my lash fan, and I reacted badly because I was already predisposed with the earlier treatment he gave me. I told him, don't be using my stuff, then yanked the fan out his hand. He got mad at that and started saying he doesn't want to hear from me because I disrespectfully yanked the fan out his hand. This took me aback because this was only provoked by his nasty attitude that he gave first and that he gives every day. I tried to explain that my actions were in reaction to what he initiated. He then started bringing up old shit, saying I bug him, when really these are efforts to cheer him up and out of his funk. He also started calling me out of name and saying I shouldn't involve myself in his business. As a big sister to him, I try to cheer him up and involve myself, but now I don't even know what's wrong and what's right to talk about with him. It's like walking on eggshells trying to parent a child that's not even mine. Anyways, it's been 2 weeks that we've talked because I'm giving him his space like he requested. I know this silent treatment is childish to an extent, so I do want to reconnect eventually, but I also don't think it's fair for me to keep being the bigger person or initiate contact with the person who started it. He's old enough to know better, and I think that the ball is in his court to fix things. I just want insight on the situation as a big sister to a depressed younger brother. First of all, thank you for trusting us and sending this question in.
This letter.
Yeah, this letter. It was well written.
It was well written. Thank you for no typos.
Right.
So the first thing that I want to say is I think you would relieve a lot of pressure on yourself. You mentioned that I'm trying to parent a child that's not mine. I don't know what your familial dynamic is or what type of relationship with you have with your brother beyond just being a sibling. But if you remove that element and not try to parent him, then you might find yourself having more peace.
Yeah.
If your brother's going through a dark time, you can let him know, hey, I'm available to be here if you ever want to talk. Because what you'd find is being considerate, he's irritated, annoyed by because of the space that he's in. So although your intention is to be available, it's the way it's impacting him, he's not receiving it the way that you mean to give it.
Yeah.
So I think the easiest thing to do and maybe the best thing to do is just say, you know, I love you. I care about you. I want you to be good. And if you're going through a dark time, just know I'm always here for you whenever you want to talk. If you come home and you in a mood, you don't want, hey, it will give hey, hi, bye until you're ready to go deeper. But parenting a child that's not yours is not your responsibility. You are his sister, not his mother.
I agree with that. And I think when we are dealing with people who are depressed or in a dark space, it makes us uncomfortable. And sometimes we try to hurry up and usher them out of their space so that they can feel better, but also so that we can feel better and less uncomfortable. But I think you would also provide yourself some relief by releasing that, like accepting that you do want to be there for him. But this is not your discomfort to carry. You know what I'm saying? Like, don't let it shake you up so much to where you feel like, oh, I need you to hurry up and get out of this. Because sometimes people need their time. They really do need, like, more time than we sometimes may feel necessary or that we may even understand. But it's a process. And I think that he would appreciate it if he just knows that you're there. And like Germany said, when he's ready to come around,
he will. Yeah, and you'll be there.
Yeah.
But y'all having this back and forth tit for tat because you're giving more than he even wants to take. That's another reason. You're frustrated because it's like, I'm giving, giving, giving. He never asked for it.
Yeah.
And sometimes we set ourselves up in these positions where we're disappointed or we don't feel like people are treating us well. But really, we're doing too much.
Yeah.
We're doing too much. And it's okay. It's okay to take a step back and be like, maybe you don't need that from me. Maybe what he needs from you is for you to just be like, whenever you're ready to talk, I'm here.
Yeah.
Or asking him, what do you need from me right now?
Right. Yeah. That's even better.
Yeah. What do you need from me right now?
Yeah.
Because what I'm giving you is obviously not what you want.
Yeah.
So hopefully that helps. It wasn't really long or drawn out. I like that we were straight to the point.
Yeah.
Succinct. Ha.
Yeah. We're wishing you the best.
Yes, and your brother.
Yes.
Thoughts and prayers. Because depression and dark times are not fun.
No, they're not.
But so he's going to make it out.
He is. He has to. So, y'all, we hope that you enjoyed this week's episode. We'll be back next week with a different goodie bag. Goodie
same
from
bag,
the back. Same different bag, goodies. Different goodie. Okay, y'all. Love you.
Bye.